The call rang out through the night, but it was not a call of panic. It was not even a call to war. It was a familiar call, and the hearers would understand the reasoning behind the call. The Turkish soldiers of World War I had intended to threaten the Jerusalem shepherds. They had snuck in by night, and they, by force, had taken control of the sheep. These shepherds had no choice in the moment but to succumb to the attack. Their sheep were taken hostage. But they were not afraid, because they knew that in the end, they had a greater weapon than any of the weapons of those Turkish soldiers. So in the middle of the night, they used their weapon, their call. They called out to the sheep, and the sheep instantly began to hustle and bustle from their sleepy gaze, and they began to move toward the sound of the call, because they knew the source and they knew the significance. The shepherd knows how to call the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. Do you know the shepherd's voice? There are a lot of voices screaming at us today. What voices are you listening to? There's a lot of noise in our society. A lot of people telling you what to think and what to do, how to respond, how to act. But as Christ followers, we have this reality. We have access to the one who speaks with calm and calls us to turn to him. In our rapidly changing and increasingly chaotic world, it's important that we listen to the right voices. And we've been talking about how to do that already for the last several weeks at Mission Hill Church. We've been in this series called, Hello, My Name Is I Am. My name is Paul, but we've been talking about I Am. And here's the reality. When Jesus gives us in the Gospel of John these seven I am statements, he's introducing us to who he is, and that is very significant, because when you understand who God is, it begins to change who you are. And that's what Jesus did in the Gospel of John. He was shocking the religious culture. In fact, he was taking them back to the name that God had given himself when asked by Moses. Do you remember the encounter with Moses at the burning bush? It took place in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Well, what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me. God was saying then, he's saying to you, he's saying to our world today, I am. I was. I am today. And I forevermore will be. Nothing you encounter catches me off guard. And so when Jesus then would begin to introduce himself with these statements saying that he was, that he is, and that he forevermore will be, that was blasphemous in the eyes of the religious. We first learned that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Just think about that for a second. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, I am your source. I am your satisfaction. I am the only thing that can save you. I am the bread of life. I'm so thankful for that truth from Scripture. But then Jesus would move from John 6, having said he was the bread of life, to John 8, saying, I am the light of the world. Think about that. The one who spoke and separated light and darkness tells us that he is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus wants to form you. It means that Jesus wants to fill you. It means that Jesus wants to make darkness flee from you. He's the light of the world. But if there was any confusion in an interaction after saying that, in John 8, in verse 58, he goes out on a limb. And he says, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I want you to understand, this is a big deal. And it's as current as this morning's headlines. You need to know who Jesus said he is, because I am changes who I am. Just think about that right where you are this morning. As you're listening to these words, who God is directly changes who you are. The more I understand who Jesus is, the more I begin to realize who it is that he wants me to be. So today, we're not going to spend all of our time talking about our circumstances. We're not going to spend all of our energy talking about the challenges. We're not going to focus this morning on current events. We're going to talk about the Christ, the one that the Bible says is anointed to be the Savior, to help us through whatever circumstances and whatever challenges and whatever current events we may face in this world. That's our hope. That's the one we must focus on. And Jesus draws us to that beautifully in John chapter 10. So I'd encourage you, whether you're on a mobile device or whether you have a copy of God's printed word in front of you, to find John chapter 10 and follow along in this passage. Remember the context. In John chapter 9, Jesus had just performed this amazing miracle where a man born blind from birth was healed. And at the end of what we have as John chapter 9, he's ultimately healed. Because physical healing is not the most important thing that you could ever encounter in life, but spiritual healing. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus gave this man eternal life, and not only did he see what he had never seen, he saw the one who changed everything. He saw Jesus. Jesus had healed this man and then began to cause controversy once again with the religious leaders, and Jesus condemns them. He talks about their need to see. And notice what he goes on to say in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he's brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Would you join me in prayer, and let's ask God to speak once again his truth into our lives for eternal change. Let's pray together. So Father, in the name of Jesus, once more we pause in this season of worship to communicate with you. Lord, we know that in uncertain times, in difficult days, in challenging chaos, really the greatest thing we can do is stop and pray. So, Lord, we cover our situation and we cover this service of worship once more in prayer. And here's what we ask. Would you continue to give us what we do not have? Would you continue to teach us what we do not know? Lord, would you continue to make us what we've not yet become? mold us and shape us into your image that we might be more like you. God, we want to know all we can about who you are because we know that affects who we are to be. And we want to shine with your light and love in our community in this season like never before. So, Lord, we thank you. Father, I pray that prayer of David. I pray that as you've created in me a clean heart and you've renewed a right spirit within me, that the words of my mouth and even the meditation in my heart would be pleasing to you, my strength and my redeemer. God, may eternal change take place because of our time together today. And we ask this again in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little odd to me. I think I need a little better understanding. I am the door of the sheep. To help you understand that, I want you to know what's going to take place if you were to continue reading in John chapter 10, as we will next week. In John chapter 10, we actually have two of the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus first says, I am the door. Secondly, he says, I am the good shepherd. And that I am statement, I am the good shepherd, really provides the context for all that we see about what Jesus is describing here in John chapter 10. We can understand a little bit about Jesus saying he's the good shepherd because as children, we learn about the good shepherd in Psalms 23, right? Let me just read a little bit of that to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sakes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anyone who's familiar with scriptures understands the idea that God desires to be looked at as our shepherd. So when Jesus would describe himself as our good shepherd, that would not be surprising. But it gives us the context for what he's saying here when he said he is the door. Because what is that goal of the shepherd? Well, the shepherd's got to take care of the sheep, right? And the shepherd does that in all kinds of ways. A few weeks ago, we talked about how a sheep may be cast. And you remember what it means to be cast? A sheep may be stuck, and I illustrated that. So just in case you missed it, I'm going to illustrate it again. Imagine a sheep that's kind of tripped in a hole, in a crevice there in the field, and they find themselves rolling over because, like the pastor, they've got a big belly. And all of a sudden, all they can do is have four legs up in the air as if to say, I've fallen and I can't get up. It's a cast sheep. And we're reminded that the good shepherd comes and he helps the cast sheep. He picks us up when nothing else can help us. He is the one who's there for us. But I want to tell you something else the shepherd does. The shepherd's going to protect his flock, so he has a pen, usually made with a stone wall. That stone wall will be high enough that the sheep cannot jump over the wall. And just to protect the sheep from outside intruders, that stone wall will have on top of it something that would deter the intruder. Whether that would be a thief, like I described about those Turkish soldiers in World War I, or whether that would be a lion, a tiger, or a bear, oh my, whatever it was, it would protect them from the intruder. But there was an opening. That opening was how the sheep would come in and out. Now, when we think of a door, we think of something like what you see right here. A door is just an entrance and an exit. It allows you to go from one side to another. Jesus was describing something different when he said, I am the door. because that sheep pen would simply be an opening. There would be no closure. It would be an opening, and that's where the sheep would come in and out. So in the evening, to provide further protection, after the shepherd would get himself into the pen with the sheep, he would become the door. You would not get to the sheep without first going through the shepherd. Some of you just had an aha moment. You grew up, maybe you heard that in Sunday school and you never knew that. When Jesus is saying, I am the door, what he's saying is nothing touches your life without first filtering through me. I am the one to give you help. I am the one to give you hope. I am the one to give you healing. Let me just tell you some of what this means to us. If Jesus is the door, he changes our perspective. We see things differently. Do you remember what I said had just happened? Jesus had just given sight to a blind man. This is a continuation of his teaching. Imagine what that was like. This man, blind from birth, he had never seen people outlined as the figures he would see. He had never seen the pool that he would regularly sit by. He would never see the places of worship that he would go into. His world changed. And that's what Jesus does when you encounter him. You see things differently. Your perspective changes. I want you to understand, no matter what we're facing, whether in a crisis like the one in our midst today or anything you will face in your life, when God opens our eyes to the presence of Jesus, it changes everything. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that should be evident. It should be evident in your countenance. It should be evident in your attitude. It should be evident in your actions. When everybody else is running around panicking and buying up all the toilet paper and wondering what in the world's going to happen, you go forward, yes, in wisdom, but in faith. Wisdom and faith are not at odds with one another because you have confidence in the one who's changed everything. That shepherd becoming the door, it had further meaning for those sheep. They knew their shepherd, but their shepherd knew them. And maybe I just need to remind you of that truth today. The shepherd knows your name. I love that song. And maybe you remember some of the little chorus. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. And hears me when I call. Maybe you need to be reminded today that he knows you. He knows your name. He knows your nature. Some of you you're more wired to worry. And a lot of times it's because of what's happened in your life. You went through something very difficult. You went through challenges that were unfair and uncalled for. And as a result, you view things differently today. But understand, when you've got the perspective of Jesus, that changes even those things. Because he knows your nature. He knows your weaknesses. And he knows your needs. He knows everything you need. Do you believe the scriptures when it says in Philippians 4 that my God shall supply, he will supply, he does supply your needs, not according to your standards, but according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So I would just ask you, take a step back. Are you viewing this current situation? Are you viewing your life through the perspective of the presence of Jesus? Do you realize, have you accepted that nothing's coming to you without first going through him? That's a big deal. My friend Ray and I spent some time together on Friday evening, and he was telling me a story he had this week, an encounter at Lowe's out in the parking lot. You know, our current situation with the coronavirus has everybody talking about sickness and maybe some even thinking about death. And this young man asked him, hey, what do you think about this? Are you afraid you're going to get it? And Ray, as only Ray could say, said, well, no. I'm saved and born again. I love the way I hear Ray say that. He says, I'm saved and born again. And he said, that means that Jesus has got me. So nothing's going to touch me that hasn't first come through Jesus. So if Jesus wants me to get this virus, I'm going to get the virus. And if I go see Jesus, I just get more Jesus. But if Jesus doesn't want me to get the virus, I'm not going to get the virus. And I still got Jesus. What is that? That's just perspective. That's understanding that the door is there for me, that he is filtering everything that comes to my life. That means he's never caught off guard by it. And he will see me through. Though they're not the smartest animals, those sheep, they could not miss the presence of the shepherd because he was the door. So we better not miss his presence. God's ultimate provision is his unfailing presence. Hold on to that truth today. His greatest gift is that he's with us. And that should change things in our little corner of the world. But because Jesus is the door, he also offers us protection. He offers us protection. Well, you think, well, protection from what? Jesus didn't leave us curious about that. Look at what it said in verse 1. He said, protection from the thief and the robber. And in case you were confused, in verse 8, he says it again. There are thieves and robbers. And in verse 10, he tells us what thieves and robbers do. They come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hey, I want you to understand this. There will always be counterfeits. There will always be liars. There will always be those who seek to divide and distract and destroy. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. I've got this. I'm not caught off guard. You just beware, you be wise, and you be ready. As Christ followers, we have to understand we do have an enemy. He's real. In my translation of scripture, I would say it this way. He's alive and well, and he's after you and your mama. But he's a defeated foe. He's already lost the battle. There's only so much he can do. So how does he attack us today? Well, he does those same things. He tries to rob our peace. He tries to steal our joy. He tries to destroy our lives. But you know what I've noticed? He's got a common playbook. Let me just tell you some of the things I think he does. First of all is fear. Now, this is what the Bible says. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. So I would say to you, scripturally, if you fear anything but God, according to scripture, you're sinning. But the enemy breeds in fear. So what do we do? What time I'm afraid? I trust in you, the psalmist said. I would just ask you, do a quick inventory of your life. Is the enemy using fear in your little corner of the world today? But you know something else he traffics in? He traffics in falsehoods. He's the father of lies. And man, I would just tell you what, in 50 years of life, I've seen people get so much messed up as they're chasing lies, as they're trying to go through life, but they're operating in falsehood. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't fall into those traps. You know what else he does? I think our enemy is the one who invented this term, fake news. That's what he's all about, fake news. He's trying to tell you there's another way. And you don't have to trust the shepherd. You don't have to depend on the door. You don't have to look to Jesus. He's going to do everything in your life to get you distracted and keep you from the real thing. So what's the antidote? The antidote to fear is peace, right? We have the peace of God. We've got the presence of God. Oh, I love Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. In this season of uncertainty, ask God for peace. That's an antidote to fear. But what about this falsehood, these lies? What's the antidote to that? Well, it's truth. It's truth. You've got to decide, do you believe what God says or don't you? And church, this is a time where as Christ followers, we must stand up and help people understand. For us, this is not simply a religion. These are not rituals. We have a relationship with God. And because of our relationship with God, we have confidence that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He means what he says he means. And we can trust him. We can depend on his truth. You know, this weekend, Harvey Weinstein was sentenced to more than a couple of decades in prison for just some of his crimes. And after the sentencing, he spoke to the judge. And here's what he said. Just get these words. He said, "While I understand we have different truths, that's not okay. That's not even logically okay." For those of us that understand logic and how you walk through arguments and debates, you can't have more than one truth. You've got to decide, are you going to rely on the truth of God's word and what he's taught you? May he give us peace. Oh, I love the words of A.W. Tozer. He says, "A scared world needs a fearless church." May he make us fearless. May he give us peace. May he give us truth. May we understand, as we'll discover in the next few weeks, that he is the way, the truth, the life. C.S. Lewis said, "You must be asking which door is the true one, not which one pleases you best." But he also gives us the antidote to fake news. You know what that is? It's the good news. It's the real news. It's the gospel. Here's the truth of the gospel. Listen carefully. You were born separated from God because of your sin. It's not just something you did. It's who you are. It's your nature. But remember, here's the good news. He knows your nature. That sin was going to cause you to spend forever separated from God, and it was going to cause you to miss not only eternity, but the abundance that God offers you here on this side of heaven. God doesn't want that because he loves you. That's why the Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God sent his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but can have everlasting or eternal life. Romans 5 tells us that God demonstrates his love and that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's the gospel. It's the good news. And the Bible goes on to say that if you have trusted in that good news, if you've received the forgiveness because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, if you have that relationship with God through Christ, then listen, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul describing this says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Goes on to tell us that sickness or peril or danger or the sword or famine, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. That's the good news. The shepherd, he was a door. And because he was a door, it changes our perspective. The shepherd, he's the door. Because he's the door, that gives us protection. But the shepherd, he's the door. And because he's the door, we have his provision. Probably at some point today, I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'm going back to Publix. Pray for me. It's a jungle out there. Got to get some more toilet paper. A lot of people are thinking about their provisions. Do I have enough? What was Jesus saying that he was as the shepherd to the sheep? I think the most important thing he was trying to communicate, I'm your enough. I'm your provision. So not only am I protecting you, I'm providing for you. If you just understand I'm here, you're going to be okay. And he even says it this way. He says, I'm the way that you're saved. You see, what the door does, whatever kind of door it is the door is a separation. And Jesus was making clear that he is a separation. That's consistent in all of these names of Jesus. Jesus is demonstrating he is a dividing line. The God who provides also divides. And you get to decide which side of that divide you're standing on. That gospel, the good news that we just shared, demonstrates that God wants to separate you unto himself. And he wants to do that, as it says in John 10:10, for a very clear purpose. That thief, he comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Just think about this reality. Jesus gives us life. I would take a minute, and wherever you are as you hear these words, just repeat that to yourself. Just say this. Say, Jesus gives me life. I think this is an opportunity in our society for people to understand what we really believe about Jesus. Who do we understand him to be? And I need you to know that Jesus is not some genie in a bottle that hears our cry and sometime gives us what we want. Jesus is our Savior on a cross who understood our crisis and always gives us what we need. He gives us life. And he lays it out. So let me lay it out with you before I pray. First of all, acknowledge today that he's the one who gave you physical life. If you woke up this morning, it's not simply because you ate well last night. It's not because you exercised 20 minutes a day, 4 times a week. If you woke up this morning, it's because the creator of the universe said, all right, I'm going to gift you another day. No one's ever entered into his presence a moment too soon, and you or I will not be late. He's the giver of life, physically. But what Jesus was saying is, I'm also giving you life eternal. I want to remind you once more before I pray that you are an eternal being. You're going to spend forever somewhere. And Jesus deeply desires that you spend forever with him. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to have it eternal. But he makes clear he also wants you to have it abundant. The Christian life is not intended to be spent in a bomb shelter. The Christian life is not about hiding and worrying about everything that's going to take place. The Christian life is about standing up and trusting Christ to give you abundance, even in the midst of scarcity. Are you committed to living the abundant life? If you're a part of the family of God, if you're part of the body of Christ, the church, I think these are strategic days. I think we have the opportunity to rise and be heard. I think we have the chance to lead, to show that, like our God, we're not going to be fazed by this. We're going to trust Him. We're going to smile. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to do kind deeds. We're going to pick up those that are hurting, and we're going to help, because nothing can keep us from the love of God, and that means nothing can keep us from the abundant life He offers. What you and I have to answer is, has Jesus become that door in our little corner of the world? Am I resting in His presence so that it's changed my perspective? Am I trusting His protection? And am I depending on His provision? Psalm 23, I first learned as a little boy. Perhaps you learned that psalm as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The little boy was so excited. He was just coming home from Sunday school. His teacher had taught the class well, so he was excited to share his new verse with his mother. He got in the car, and she did, as I often do to my little girl. She said, "What did you learn today at church?" He said, "Mom, I learned a new verse." And then he began to quote it. "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." Mom instantly picked up on the slight error in wording. But she decided it was not worth correcting, because that's the message of who He is. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, our door. He's all you need. Let Him be all you want today. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Would you just take a moment and would you reflect on what we've discussed? Many of my friends and church family, maybe even family members that are watching, you've got a relationship with Christ. This is a pivotal time in your life. Make sure you're trusting Him today. You can trust Him. He is present. Maybe just pray this simple prayer. Lord, change my perspective for Your glory. Help me to see You more. Help me to see You more. Some of you, you've gotten overcome by these things that attack us. Fear and falsehood. Maybe even the fake news. And it's just eating your lunch. I mean, you're not fun to be around. You say you've got Christ in you, but it's not reflective on you. Maybe you just need to pray this prayer. Oh, Jesus, You are my protection. I trust You today. I pray for Your peace that passes all understanding. Help me to walk in the truth, to stop believing the lies, and allow me today to depend on the power of the gospel. Just tell Him thank You for that. But you may be here today and you've never begun a relationship with Christ. You're watching this message and you tuned in because it's just crazy. Where else are you going to go? But you've recognized what I talked about, that's not something you have. Maybe you've got religion and you call it a lot of different things. Maybe it's Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or Episcopal or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Assembly of God or non-denominational or multi-denominational. I don't know what you call it. You've been through rituals like church class and communion and confirmation, and you raised your hand or you walked an aisle or you've been dunked or you've been dipped, but you realize nothing's changed because you've never heard the voice of the Good Shepherd calling your name. You've never responded to His call. I want you to respond today to that call of the Good Shepherd. He did demonstrate his love for you, and that while you were still a sinner, like me, he died. He's offered you forgiveness. Today's the day to receive that. Would you do that? Maybe you'd pray this prayer. Just you and God right now. Wherever you are, just pray this. Dear Jesus, I know how much I need you. I believe you died for me. I receive your forgiveness. I know you're alive today. So I'm ready for you to live in me. Change me. I'm tired of living my way. I'm ready to live for you. Come into my life. I give you control. You are my door. You are my Jesus. Thank you. God, I would pray in this moment of worship in the Word, the time we've spent in song and in prayer, even through giving, that you will have awakened our heart to who you are and that we'd walk away different having been together. And I thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hey, I want to encourage you in these next couple of moments. We've got folks that are monitoring our Facebook Live. If you're watching through our website or through our app, would you just consider messaging us? You could email us just to the general church information you see there on the screen. Maybe you prayed that prayer with me to begin a relationship with Christ. You could fill out that contact card, the commitment card that you have access to through our app and through our website. We want to know what God is doing in your life. We want to encourage you to take advantage of this unique season, and we'll be here to respond to you. So make us aware of that. Now, I promise this, so I want to give you one more opportunity. Normally, after our time of response, we have a time of giving. And so I hope you don't tune out yet, because here's the reality. It's days like these that we depend on God's faithful people to be faithful in the area of giving. I remind you, there's at least four ways that you can give. You can quickly download our app or give on our app. You can do that online through our website. You could go to your bank and just do a payment through your bank, or you can drop that off at the office tomorrow. But we encourage you, don't let this time where we're absent of the church gathering corporately in a building keep us from giving. So just to show you again how easy and quick it is to give, I'm going to do that representing our church, our personal family. Often you're just sent a simple code that lets you know, hey, this is how you give. And literally it takes just a few seconds to do that. Would you be faithful? Some of you are my friends or family. Maybe you are not a part of this church home, but you're not really plugged in. I would encourage you to find a church home in your community where you can faithfully serve the Lord. But I want you to know this. If God lays upon your heart to give and to be a part of what he's doing through our ministry at this time, we commit to faithfully using those resources that you've entrusted to us. This is a unique season. And so I would just ask you to stay tuned. Make sure you've got that app. Sign up for those push notifications. Make sure you didn't unsubscribe from our church emails. Pick up the phone if we call you in one of those mass calls, because we're going to be regularly communicating all that's taking place in this fluid situation in our society. We're going to always do as we've tried to do today. Our leaders ask us to prayerfully consider not assembling in large groups in order to flatten this curve and hopefully prevent people from getting more sick from this virus. We want to love well and lead well through this time. So please stay in touch with us so that you can know how we plan to do that. Thank you for joining us online. We'll be reposting this service in the next few minutes, and then throughout the day and week, you'll be able to see our time of worship together. Invite your friends. If God uses this in your life, ask them to tune in as well. I look forward to seeing you again, wherever that may be. Now, before you're done, listen to my buddy DJ. He's going to wrap things up for us.
Thank you for joining us at Mission Hill Online. Remember, we stream our services each and every week. So next time you're sick or you're out of town, make sure you join us. Also, stay connected to our church. Download the church app or follow us on all social media platforms. Speaking of social media, every day we've been posting the prayer point and the passage for our 40 days of prayer and fasting heading up to Easter. And we are so excited to see what God's going to do in and through Mission Hill Church during this Easter season, especially as we take Easter on the road for our Mission Hill road trip in Wesley Chapel that Saturday night before Easter. As we continue to respond to the coronavirus with caution, we have canceled all activities at Mission Hill Church this week. But be sure to stay on the lookout for any updates from Pastor Paul. For all of this and more information, be sure to check out the church bulletin. And remember, the church is not defined by four walls. You are the church. So do whatever it takes, wherever you are, to shine the light and love of Jesus like a city on a hill. See you next week.